for from you are all things. And don't you hate a smush on your glasses? Especially when you're the one that did it. Good morning!
Good morning.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Somebody told me last week after service, Pastor, in 3 years that you've been here, that's the hardest thing you've ever asked us to do. Yeah, you're probably right. But it's not the hardest thing I'll ever ask you to do. Sorry, not sorry. What an amazing moment that was. I've only done that one other time in ministry, and it's a night I'll never forget, a moment I'll never forget. The way it humbles us, the way God was in that last Sunday was amazing. So thank you to those of you that were here, those of you that allowed your feet to be washed. Wow, what a powerful thing that was. We are in our third week of our Hosanna Vision series, where we are talking about the vision that the Lord gave me for Hosanna, the vision being loving, serving, giving, and growing. Those four words are what Hosanna is, and any way that we're not though any of those four things, we are going to become whatever it is that we are not currently, we will be. If it takes my last breath to get us there, we're going to get there. In whatever way that we're lacking in any of those four words, I'm going to try so desperately to get us there, because these are words, if you remember, if you were here for the first message, these are all action words. These are words that all end with ing, which means these are not things that we have done. These are things that we are doing. We are loving. We are going to be a loving church no matter what. We are going to love, as Pastor Darrell Wooten says, the least, the last, and the lost. We're going to love them all. It doesn't matter if you're the first, if you're the last, we're going to love all of them. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter the language you speak. It doesn't matter the amount of money you have in the bank or the amount of money you don't have in the bank. We're going to love you no matter what. We're going to love those that we see on the street, no matter what they look like, no matter what the number of tattoos they have or any other. We're not going to use our eyes to love them. We're going to use our heart to love them. I don't care what they have. I don't care if their hair is like spiked mohawk that's 4 feet tall. I don't care. We're going to love them no matter what. What'd you say? And the ones in prison too. We're going to love them too. It doesn't matter to me. And we're going to love them all. And we're going to love them all equally. It just doesn't matter. Your situation, we've all made mistakes. Some of us have made really big mistakes. Some of us have made lesser mistakes. But we are going to be a loving church. We are going to be a church that serves the community. I want next Christmas, here is my vow, here is my pledge. I want, if Paulette is still working with Salvation Army by then, you will be. I want the Christmas bell ringers to be a list full of Hosanna people. Serving the community. What we get out of it, I don't care. But man, if we can't stand out there for, what is it, 2 hours? 2 hours, 4 hours? We have to serve this community. We have to. That's why we washed feet. It was an act of service. It was a symbolic act of service. Service to one another, service to others. Not caring who was washing whose feet. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Should he have? Honestly, probably not. They should have been washing his feet. Peter's response was the greatest response. And I know it was Peter, and I know Peter, a lot of times we give Peter kind of a kind of a bad rap because he was always talk first before he thought. Every time. Every time in the early days of Jesus' ministry with Peter, it was always, if somebody was going to say something silly without thinking about what they were saying, it was always going to be Peter. And when Peter said, "Lord, don't stop at my feet, wash all of me." And he said it, and I felt it. "Lord, don't just stop there. Wash all of me. Because all of me needs to be clean." What an amazing message. What an amazing moment last week was. Today we're talking about giving, which is everyone's favorite message, right? Everybody loves the giving message. Everybody loves the message about tithing and offering. Everybody loves that, right? Everyone's favorite. Can I tell you, I've rewritten this thing 3 times in the last day. 3 times. Told Sister Frieda this. Because every time as I'm writing it, as I'm typing it out, my flesh starts getting involved. And I start to take it this other direction. And then I walk away from it, and the Lord works on me. And I think of Pastor Hawkins' words to me that were shared with him by, I believe it was Brother Stumball, Joe Stumball, who was the pastor of First Assembly here for years. And he said, Joe told Leroy, he said, "Leroy, the pulpit's not a whipping post." He said, "They catch it enough out there in the world. They don't need it here when they come to church." And I hear those words echoing in my mind over and over and over again. Every time I would walk away from what I had written in this message and get involved in doing other things, it would just be like, okay, got to scrap that one and start all over. Because I want to make sure that I am saying the right thing and expressing the right thing, because I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want it to ever come across in a way that is not my heart. So I pray, and honestly, I need your prayers, because I want to deliver this the best possible way. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 is our opening verse. And it says, "Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For your standard of measure, it will be measured unto you in return." Give, and it will be given to you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our time of worship, Lord. We thank you, God. I thank you for everyone that's in this place right now. Lord, I thank you that you are here in our midst, Lord. And I thank you, God, that your word is always true. And it's always powerful. And it's always impactful at the right time. Lord, I ask for anointing, for your anointing upon every eye, ear, heart, and mind in this place, that they would be anointed to hear your word above mine. God, that you would speak to hearts and to lives. And Father, I ask that you would anoint me, Lord, that I would have your anointing to be able to speak this word, Lord, in a way that is your way. God, fill my mouth with your words. Fill my heart with your spirit. Create that steadfast spirit in me, God, and clear my hands. Father, I thank you, and I praise you in Jesus' mighty, powerful, holy name. Amen. Amen. As we look at giving, as we talk about giving, I want you to notice that this verse here says, "Give and it will be given to you." It's like a promise. You give, it'll be given to you. A lot of times we make the mistake of when we read that, we believe that whatever we give, we will return exactly the same thing. That's just not how it works. It's just never been how it works. You give, you will receive 100% every time. But it does not say that you will receive exactly the same amount or even a greater amount of exactly the thing that you gave. But it does say you will receive. Give, and it will be given to you. It will be given to you. It. What's it? It could be a lot of things. A lot of things. I can tell you it's not curses. I can tell you it's not devils. Because if it comes from the Lord, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. He doesn't give bad gifts. We don't ask Him for blessings and He returns serpents. We ask Him for blessings and He returns blessings unto us. What's a blessing? Can be a lot of things. Can be almost anything except a serpent. Okay? Some people, there are some people, we'll say people, that a serpent would be a blessing to them. They love snakes. We need to pray for those people. I think demons might be involved. I don't know, but it's just not right. Nothing about snakes are, Lord bless them. You know, Jesus, they deliverance, I don't know, something needs to happen. But I know that this word is a promise to us that if we give, He returns. Pastor Hawkins used to say, you can never outgive God, ever. It's impossible to outgive Him. He's not going to ever be in your debt. I love that sometimes we try to operate in a way that, you know, some of you know have people in your life who operate in, well, I did this for you, so now you have to do something for me. Right? You have those people in your life that operate transactionally. Or they'll say, well, I'm doing this for you now because I'm going to need you to do something for me later. Right? And they keep score, and you wonder if they've got a little notebook they carry around, and, you know, there's your name. And it's like, oh, there's like four checks. Or there's a list of the things that they did for you. You know? And I'll tell you right now, for some of those people, helped you move is in all caps. You know? Because that's just horrific. That's just the worst thing. Helping somebody move, thank you. I'm good. I've moved enough. I don't want to do it anymore. It's a terrible thing. I think everybody should just stay where they are. This is, Lord. That's why we offer pizza to people. Oh, if you come help me move, I'll buy you pizza. You know? Well, there's not a good enough pizza out there for me to go, Lord Jesus. But we see this. There's this promise that He gives us. That if we give, He will give unto us. And I love this. And I know that some people will take this. The rest of this verse, and they will try to make it something it wasn't intended to be. They will try to preach this I'm trying not to say these words. There's this doctrine out there that I personally, some of y'all might like it. I personally can't stand it. There's this thing called the prosperity doctrine, right? Can't stand it. To me, for me, okay? I don't see it proved out scripturally. I just don't. Yes. Pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What? It. That's what's going to be poured into your lap. It. What is it? I don't know. But I know that when I give, it doesn't matter what I've ever given. I've given big screen TVs. I've given, I'm trying to think of some of the things that we've given away. We've given away rooms in our home for long periods of time, year and a half, where we've just allowed somebody to come stay in our home and moved our kids into another bedroom so that this person could have a place to stay. International students and friends and just people. And I've bought meals. We've done so many things, and that's not bragging. That's not me saying, oh, I've done all these things. I'm telling you, I have given and given and given, and I have always seen God do something. And sometimes it's just that feeling of knowing that He used me to bless somebody. When you drive through McDonald's or whatever restaurant and you pay for the meal behind you, right? I love the person that starts it, and then it just keeps going and going and going and going, right? And it just you just seeing how it impacts people. I like when I've done it for people, and you can look in your rearview mirror and you can see the shock and like that dog head turn thing happen, you know? That, huh? Somebody, what? They did that for me? What? And it's just, you do that and you see that God did something small for somebody. And sometimes it's something big and you think it's small. We judge the thing that we do not by a spiritual manner, but in a way that it's like we judge it because it's not a big deal for us. But sometimes that meal you bought for that person may be the only meal they've had that day. Might be. You just never know. Might be something where they're struggling with depression or fear or anxiety or some other thing. And you do something just so small. And it has an impact. And it's an impact that you may never fully know. And it doesn't really matter. We're not called to know the result of our giving. We're just called to give. He doesn't say, I'm gonna show you how that's impacted somebody. He just says, give and I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to return to you. Something that's going to be poured into your lap, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Like David in Psalm 23, my cup overflows. Sometimes that's just what's happening in your family, how you, like when you celebrate a new grandbaby. Woo, yeah, Lord Jesus. Just got one of those. Got my first one just recently. And I've only held him once, but it's coming. The second time's coming. And I'm going to have to break in, I think, to do it. But it's fine. Hopefully they don't listen to this recording. But I'm going someday soon. I'm going to hold that baby again. I'm going to see my Miles again. And whoo, Lord Jesus. But to just be able to look at your family, to look at what God's doing in your life, man, that's enough for me. I don't need all the extra stuff. I don't need just knowing. That God's using me is enough. Hosanna's a giving church. Hosanna has always been a giving church. Always. Sometimes we've given more, sometimes we've given less, but we've always given. Sometimes the giving was probably underrated, sometimes it was overrated. But Hosanna will always be, as long as I have anything to do with it, we will always be a giving church. Because I do not see a moment in my Bible, in the teachings of my Jesus, or Paul, or Peter, or John, or any of them, I don't see a place where he ever said, okay, you've given enough, don't give anymore. That just doesn't exist. And often, many of us underestimate our ability to give. In fact, more of us underestimate it than not. Most of us underestimate our ability to give because we get so focused on everything else, on other things, that we underestimate the ability that we have to give. Because we like to feel financially secure, because some of us deal with those fears of what would happen if I did this, what would happen if I did that. For a long time, there was something personally that I wanted. It wasn't something I needed, it was just something I wanted. And there were multiple times over the years that I had the opportunity, I had the money in the bank that was not designated to go anywhere else, that I could have bought that thing. But I was a dad. And dad knew that if I spent that money in 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, there would be something that would come up that I could have used that money to benefit my family. New shoes, new tires, whatever it was, whatever need was there. So, dad did without. It was not a big deal. It added nothing to my life. It was just something I wanted. We have things that we want, right? Well, we all have things that we want. May not be God things, but we have things. Like, that would be really nice. I would really like to have that. It would be fun to have that. So I waited and waited, and eventually the money that I had saved, I needed it for something else. And then I'm going to tell you the honest truth. Out of nowhere, my brother called me and said, hey, can you meet me? I want to say it was in Durant or something. He said, I have something for you. So worked out, I could drive to Durant, drove to Durant, and he handed me the thing that I had wanted. He had built it himself, paid for it himself, and gave it to me. And I still have it now. But in part because he has a giving heart as well. See, giving is this thing that when we give, when we put others first. I remember Pastor Chad, the first or the last message of the year, I guess it was, of 2023, Chad Broderick was here, and he talked a little bit in his message about being selfless. It was a big part of his message was us being selfless, that to really serve God and love God and show God and do what God's called us to do. It is 99% of the time being selfless. It is about putting others first. That is a giving heart. That's a giving attitude. I like this verse in Mark chapter 12, verses 42 through 44. This story here, a poor widow came, put in 2 small copper coins, which amounted to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors of the treasury. The widow's mite, the 2 copper coins that she had that she put in the offering, were more valuable spiritually to the Lord than what everybody else had offered. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned and all she had to live on. I'm not telling you, God's asking you to empty your bank account. If he does, we have the Tithely app. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you that giving is a major part of our faith. Jesus gave everything. He held nothing back from us. Nothing. Poured out every last drop of blood. Every ounce of energy he had. Everything he had, he poured out for us. We can afford to give a little bit. And this is not me saying that you don't give. I am so blessed, and I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty sure December, financially, giving-wise, was the best month Hosanna has had in probably at least the 3 years that we've been here. I can remember going through the month, and ever so often, I try to keep my pulse on where things are financially for the church. It's part of what Tammy and I do for the church. It's part of the job, right? And to pull up the Tithely app and go, oh, wow. Okay. Oh, wow. And then to have some that you're like, oh, wow, they gave. It's just like, it's a blessing. It's amazing to watch. So this is not me saying in any way that you are not giving. Do not walk out of here today and say, well, Pastor said we don't give. I've heard those messages. I've sat through those messages. I've walked out of church mad. I'm not saying that. And if you walk out of here mad at me, that's your fault, not mine. Because I'm trying really desperately to be very clear here. We are going to be a giving church. Giving is not always financial. Sometimes giving is time. Giving and serving. Sometimes work hand in hand and can be the same thing. Sometimes giving is helping someone move. Lord, I don't want to give that much. Sometimes giving is showing up for somebody at a time that they need you or the time that they need somebody. Giving can look so different in so many different instances. But I know that giving is a part of what we're called to do. The story with the widow is about a giving heart. It's about her being willing to give even the last that she had. Some of us have said things over our life that we've said things like, Lord, if I could just make more money, I would be able to give more. Lord, if I just had more money in my bank, I would give more. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I've been there and I've said that. And when I had more, totally honest, it was harder to give. Total honesty. Sometimes when I had more, it was harder to give. Because you still have that mindset of, well, what if I need that later? What if my kids need shoes later? What if my truck breaks down? What if it happens? And that's a part of life. We drive mechanical vehicles and mechanical things fail sometimes. Right, Curtis? It happens. It just happens. Jason was at my house yesterday helping me work on Jacob's car. The mechanical things break, and it happens. We all face it. In fact, you've seen some airlines lately who have had some pretty major mechanical failures. When a door flew off, right? Lord, may I never be in that plane. Lord Jesus. And especially, you know, I'm thinking the next time I fly to Africa, you know, Lord, keep the doors on. Lord, just please, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I've had those moments where the Lord has asked me to give, and if I were going to be completely honest, I have written that check and grumbled a little bit when I put it where it needed to go. Where the Lord and I have had these conversations where, in fact, just recently, I had a $50 bill in my wallet that I had been given for my birthday, okay? And this was like the end of December, 1st of January. My birthday is in November, so I've been holding this thing for a while. And just so happened, there was a student that needed some help, and I handed him a $50 bill. I didn't want to. I had plans for that. I had things I could buy. I like tools, right? I like things like that. But in that moment, I had the student in need in my truck. And I just grabbed my wallet and just pulled it out. Handed it. Oh, no, 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 no. I did not ask you to take it. Not to be forceful, not to be a jerk, but this was not a request. You need this. Here, take it. And you know what? I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy always. Not the guy that grumbles, but the guy that freely gives, the cheerful giver. Right, the guy that says, I get to give $50 to somebody. I want to be that guy. I'm not there yet. The Lord's working on me. He's getting me there. But that's the guy I want to be. I want to be that guy that can cheerfully, gladly, excitedly hand over a sum of money and just be glad that I'm able to do it. That's what we should do. We should be glad that we're able to give what we gave. Whatever it is, whatever that amount is. Be glad that, Lord, I know I know compared to the person on the other side of the church, this is not a lot of money, but Lord, for me, it's a lot of money, and I'm glad I have it to give to you. I'm grateful that this is what I have. And I'm not saying that the larger amounts are less important to God, but I can promise you that He sees it all. Each one must give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. I don't want to give you that message on Sunday morning that pulls at your heartstrings and encourages you to write some great big check, and then you go home and you call me later and say, "Hey, Pastor, I got home and I told my wife about the check that I wrote. And we might need some marriage counseling, or can you rip up that check?" Right? One of those two things is going to have to happen. You're either going to have to rip up that check, or we're going to have marriage counseling, one or the other. I don't know, care which. One of those things is going to happen. I don't want to pull it out of you. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm trying to communicate to you that giving is a significant part of our faith. And I thank you, those of you that have given. Some of you given offerings and tithes and online, and some of you have done that and you've done other things. Because there are people in here who have bought plane tickets for people. There are people here who have bought laptops for people. And those people know who I'm talking about. Why don't I tell you their name? Ain't none of your business. It's their money. They do it what the Lord tells them to do with it. And they did it cheerfully. I know both of them did it cheerfully. Well, at least one of them I know. The other one, I don't think we've had that conversation. But I know them well enough to believe that they did it gladly and cheerfully. There are people who have done things that I don't know about, and I don't have to know about it. But that's what makes us a giving church. It makes us a giving church that there are people who have given groceries to people who they know needed it. It makes us a giving church that there are people who have shown up on someone's doorstep just to be there with them in a moment of pain and hurt. It makes us a giving church because we will give to Salvation Army. It makes us a giving church because we will have a haircut event and give away clothes and give away snow cones and give away hugs and laughter and joy. And it makes us, these are the things that make us a giving church, and they will never stop as long as I'm here. Ever. Because they need to know that Jesus gave it all for them. And some of them are still not convinced. They still don't understand why a holy God would look at their messy life and give a rip about them. I still don't understand why He cared about mine. But He did. And He gave it all for me. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, "You yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone." It's a letter from Paul to a church in Philippi. He said, I did the work in Macedonia. No church supported me but you, he says. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my need." Even in Thessalonica, even after I had left you, even if after I was somewhere else, you sent money to support me. This was Paul on one of his missionary journeys, and one of the churches that he had helped start and found was sending money from their church to him to support the work he was doing. I'm going to announce to you two giving initiatives that we are starting today for Hosanna. Two things that I want to raise money for. two things. The first thing is not just one thing, it's 10 things. Because the first thing is I want Hosanna to be able to support 10 missionaries at $50 a month. That means 10 people, 10 families, 10 individuals, whatever, to give $50 a month to support a missionary. $50 a month is $13, $14 a week. I want to support Brandon Garrett at Chi Alpha, OSU Chi Alpha, because they're reaching the students on OSU's campus. Some of you don't know, Brandon was youth pastor here years and years ago. He's been a longtime friend, and I want to help support him. We're already picking up Garrett Boren, who is in Thailand, trying to reach students in Thailand. I want to pick up Randy and Diane McGeehee. We've supported them before. They were missionaries in Italy. Now they're serving Italy and Turkey and some other European areas. Randy, believe it or not, is a Stillwater High School grad. And they've pastored in Illinois and other places. And they lived in Italy for a number of years. This is recorded, so I got to be really careful because they might listen to it later. I will say his wife, Diane, is an incredibly, incredibly gifted speaker. Whew. Randy is gifted, Diane's gifted, and God has used them. They established a church in Florence, Italy, that is still going to this day, as far as I know. They continue to serve Italy and serve Turkey. I want to help support them. There are a number of other missionaries who are very worthy of support, who are doing the work. Just like Paul, just like the church in Philippi, I want to be the church of Philippi for some of these missionaries. I want Hosanna to have an impact beyond just this place. Because these people are pouring out their very lives to try to preach the gospel to people. And they deserve support. I've told some of you have heard me tell this before, but when the Assembly of God was first established and they began to send the very first missionaries to other nations, those missionaries packed all of their belongings that they were shipping overseas. They packed them in coffins and shipped them because that's how they thought they would come back. And that mindset's still there for those for missionaries because they know they're called to reach people in these places. So it's $6,000 for the year, 10 people at $50 a month. I'm not going to ask you to do it if I'm not willing to do it. We're picking up at least one, Tammy and I. And we'll talk about it later. We might pick up two. Certain things happen, might pick up more. You pick up one, you help the church support one of these missionaries. I'll let you choose one. You take a picture home. I will print off a picture or get a picture somehow, some way. You can take it home. You can put them somewhere and you can pray for them. They don't just need our financial support. They need our prayers. There's a lady named Michelle Castle who is in the Middle East right now. I won't say what nation because I probably shouldn't. If they knew she was a Christian where she is, they'd come to her house, drag her out, and do who knows what. Tiny, tiny little white lady. Called to the Middle East to try to share the gospel and to help save people who are Muslims, atheists, agnostic, whatever. Maybe we support her. $6,000 for the year. Does that sound easy? No, not to this guy. It's possible. I believe it's possible. Is it going to be, are we going to have it next week? No. But you're going to hear about it. It's going to be in front of you. $50. $50 is not a lot to a lot of us. Just not. It's some of us, it's one trip to a restaurant. You have more than one kid, it's easily going to cost you close to $50 anymore at McDonald's. I mean, my goodness gracious. It's just possible. I believe it's possible. Second initiative that I want to start, I don't know how long it's going to take us. I believe fully that it's possible we can raise this by the end of the year. $8,500 to build a church in Africa. You can build an open-air tabernacle for $8,500. And then I want to take a team in 2025 to go build it. Why? Because there are churches in Africa that meet in huts, meet in open air, meet wherever they can. Wherever they can. Having been there, I've seen some of it. You go to, you find Bill Moore, who's a missionary, an Assembly of God missionary, that this is what he does. He goes throughout Africa and he builds tabernacles all over the place. And you can find videos of him on his Facebook where he's walking to places and you can hear the music playing from a good distance away. Maybe we go to Accra and build something where Barbara's from. Maybe we go to Kumasi and build something where Michael's from. Michael's not here today, but maybe we go to some other region and we build something there. But I know that when you get outside of the States and you experience the way God moves in another culture, it does nothing but change you. And there are churches there that are struggling just to have church. And some of you would say, Pastor, don't we want to build a church here? Yes, we 100% do. 100%. But didn't I say we're going to be selfless? Giving is selfless. Give, what happens? What was that verse that we opened with? And it will be given to you. When we focus on others, God does the things that we can't do. And he does it while you don't even realize he's doing it. Seek first the kingdom, everything else will be added to it, right? My Bible says something similar to that. That's a paraphrase. I didn't quote it exactly. Don't get mad at me. I'm not changing dots or any of that stuff. Seek first the kingdom. He adds to. Our focus is going to be outside of us, and then we're going to watch. I believe with all of my heart, this is not why we're doing this, but I believe it's going to be a byproduct of what we're going to see God do, that he is going to start to do the things that Hosanna needs when we're focused on helping others, when we're focused on supporting missionaries, when we're focused on helping to partner with other people to do and serve others outside of this church, that God is going to do the things that we need him to do. But we have to be selfless. We have to be willing to give outside of the norm. $8,500 for 10 people is $71 a month. If you wanted to support both, it's $121 a month. Some of us, that's a lot of money. Some of us, that's not even our electric bill. I'm not asking anybody here to write a check to pay for all of it. That's not what I'm asking. If you want to, if the Lord puts that on your heart and you can, and you want to write those checks, write those checks. It's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to consider giving, to consider helping, partner with the church, with Hosanna. Don't have to do both. Don't have to do $50 a month. If you can do $5, if you can do $10, I'm just asking you to help partner with us. We have a missions giving on the Tithely app. You can go right there now and give to missions. $5, $10, 50 cents, whatever. You can give to missions on the Tithely app. Some of us, $6,000 feels like $1 million. But what could happen They could pour it in your lap. A good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Could. What if it could impact your family? What if you could partner with your kids? What if you could take a picture of a missionary that you're supporting as a family, and you could teach your kids to pray for that missionary? What if you could teach them to pray for the nation of Africa or some other nation that the Lord puts on your heart? What if you could start to do that? What if we could? There's no telling what God can do when we're willing to give outside of the norm, outside of what's comfortable, outside of what's easy, outside of ourselves, and focus on someone else. I believe fully that it happens in marriage, and I preach it in when I talk about marriage, when I talk about relationships, I preach this very thing, that when you put your partner first, your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, when you put them first and then they're putting you first, then you don't have to worry any longer about who's first. What if we did that for other nations? What if we did that for missionaries and we started to put them first? I promise you, there are missionaries that pray for me. Missionaries I don't even know that pray for me. There are missionaries that pray for this church. There are people all over the world, because of the years of ministry of Hosanna, there are people all over the world that pray for this church. People that this church has impacted. I remember a couple of years ago, there was a young girl whose parents were from Ghana. And she was moving from the East Coast to the West Coast, and she decided just to make it a road trip. And she called and left a voicemail across the street, and I returned her call. And she said, I stopped by the church to see if anyone was there because of how my parents spoke about that church and the impact that it had on them. I would love to take a group of you. Some of you who don't even, right now it's not even a thought. Like, you can't even imagine how you would pay for a trip to go from here to Africa. I don't know. I'm not worried about it right now. We got almost 2 years to get it paid for. But what if the next time Brandon Garrett walked in this building to speak or to hold a service, he walked into a place that he knew was supporting him financially? What if some other missionary, we talked about Chad Broderick, things got kind of postponed with them this last week. I haven't had a conversation with him yet, but I know they're still trying to get it pushed through. I want them to walk in the doors and know that they're walking into a church that has prayed for them and has supported them. Some of the pastors that I'm friends with across the state, and I think Tammy may have even shared it a little bit about pastors, and it's all true. I mean, it's all true. And that's why I tried to build relationships with other pastors, because I know other pastors need relationships. There are pastors in Africa who have no one around them to help support them, pray for them. Man, if we could just find one. Just find one. And be a giving church for that one. I know nobody's going to walk out of here saying, Pastor, that's my favorite message you ever preached. But I am trying to communicate to you, this is the heart that I believe God wants out of His church. It's a heart that gives to others. And a heart that gives sacrificially to others. Not because of what they will gain out of it, but because of what others will gain from it. We don't share the gospel so that the numbers of the church grow. We share the gospel so that the kingdom will grow. This is a kingdom thing. In fact, there's a pastor who has this thing, and he calls it kingdom builders. And I'm reading through it, trying to study it and research it. That may be what we call this, is kingdom builders, because that's what this is about. This is about building his kingdom, not the kingdom of Hosanna, not the kingdom of Pastor Seth, not the kingdom of any one of you, but his kingdom. How cool would it be when that heavenly reunion happens in the sky? How cool would it be to meet someone in the sky who sees you wearing, you're in the sky and you're wearing your Hosanna hoodie or your Hosanna sweatshirt, and they're like, oh, hey, I know you supported the person that got me to Jesus. What if that could happen? What if you could walk in and see someone that you didn't even speak the same language or live on the same continent that would say, I know Hosanna had an impact because I know Jesus because of what Hosanna did. I'm not taking up an offering. I'm not doing any of that. I want you to go home and think about it. I want you to pray about it. I want you to consider it. I don't want you to give it because the pastor said you have to. You don't have to. I'm going to tell you one story, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to go eat because I'm hungry. The year before we left and came back to Hosanna, would have been 2019. The year was ending, and I'm praying about the vision for the church that we were pastoring at the time, Perkins. And the Lord put this number in my heart that he wanted me to try to raise for missions. And all these other pastors that I know, because it was about to be 2020, and I know them, and they're talking about, well, we got Vision 2020 and Vision 2020 and 2020 Vision and all this stuff, right? Like anybody saw what 2020 was going to be. Woo, bless Jesus. But that wasn't what the Lord put on my heart. He said $10,000 for missions. And I argued with him. I'm totally honest. I argued with him. Because that year I had tried to raise money to redo the sound system in the church. And I think it was like $6,000 I tried to raise to redo the sound system in the church. And I want to say we raised like $3,500, maybe $4,000 at most. And that was mostly given by just a couple of people. And so the Lord's telling me $10,000 for missions. I want you to raise $10,000 for missions. And I said, Lord, I didn't even raise $5,000 for the sound system, and you want me to try to raise $10,000 for missions. I said, Lord, this don't make no sense. And I didn't want to do it. In fact, at different times, I told him I wouldn't. And he just kept $10,000 for missions. And the church was not bigger than this church. And I finally said, okay, Lord, but this is on you. That's my heart. That's where my attitude was. This is on you. If I get $3,000 for missions in 2020, that's on you, Lord. Because you know I tried to do it last year. And so I announce it. First Sunday of 2020. Service is, we had an offering time or meet and greet time offering. And after service, this older gentleman walks up, and he was not someone who you would have said, that guy's got some money. Just an older cowboy. And he walked up to me and he said, hey, Pastor, I want you to take that check I put in the plate, and I want you to put that towards your missions. Okay, all right. So I walked over to the people that took care of the offering, and I said, Brother so-and-so said, put his check towards missions. And they said, you sure? I said, yeah. She said, okay, I think it was like $1,000. I said, great, 10% already raised, great. Next week, she came to me and she said, "Hey, I told you that was 1,000, right?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "That was 6,000. Oh. One Sunday. A month later, the guy comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Pastor, I put another check in there. I want that to go to your missions." I said, "Okay, all right." I said, "Joanne, Walter said put his check towards mission." She said, "Okay." She said, "That one was 1,000. Okay. So in the first, basically month, out of $10,000, one man gave 7 of the 10. And when we left, when we resigned that same year, there was $13,000 that had been raised for missions in that church. So I stand here preaching out of faith. 100% out of faith. Do I know how it's going to happen? Nope. Not at all. But I know it's possible. Why is it possible? Anybody tell me? What? What'd you say? Him possible. That's right. That's how it's possible. We're going to pray. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for not leaving. Thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you for your love. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I know how this is not a shouting message, and I know this is not a message that people are gonna just hoop and holler and shout and jump up and down. I know, Lord, but I know, God, I have so much faith in you. Faith in you because I've seen what you can do. And Lord, I pray that I have not said anything outside of your heart and your desire. And I pray, Lord, if I did, if I got out of alignment at all in any moment, God, Lord, would you right click delete those words from the heart or the mind of whomever? Father, I pray that our hearts, God, would not be tugged out of compulsion, but out of faith and trust in you. Lord, that we would hear from your Holy Spirit, and if we are to give, we will give. Lord, I thank you for everyone in this place. I continue to lift up and pray for Byron and Carolyn, that healing would come upon them. And Lord, I pray for Dexter as well. You know that situation very well, I know. Lord, I pray over those that are unable to be here today. Lord, I pray that as we go across the street, Lord, that you protect us and you guide us, God. As we have our meeting together to discuss the business at hand, Lord, we pray that your hand would be upon us as we have this discussion about this offer that we have received for the purchase of the building across the street. Lord, we continue to trust you with that, knowing, God, all things are him possible. Father, I thank you. Lord, bless us as we leave here. Keep your hand upon us, God. Your face shine upon us. Oh, God, in Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. 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 And amen. Thank you, church. I